Hello and welcome to the Echo Chamber Podcast. My name is Tony Groves, and today we are talking, the North, but we're not really talking the North, in my opinion. We're talking the universal story that's been painted in different, It's been painted politically different, but I don't know how different it actually is. But before we go there, I just want to remind listeners that tomorrow evening we are doing another live podcast. It's Rory Hearn's Reboot Republic. It's nearly 300 episodes, but it's 100 episode of this season, and we're going to be joined by a packed guest list, including Lynn Rowan, Sharon Lambert, Ellie Kasambi, Rosemary Mon. I mean, I could just go on, but look, nonetheless, if you are on patreon.com/tortoiseshack, it's $5.50. You get your month or whatever it is, but come along to the live show, because we open up the mics, we have a bit of crack, we have a chat, and you get to talk to these people. And I promise you, we'll keep Rory chatting down to a minimum. Anyway, look, we've all seen the events on our screens over the last number of days. So we are actually thrilled to be joined by Councillor Brian Smith, who is Green Party Councillor on Belfast County Council. Brian, first of all, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us.
No worries. Thanks for having us, gents.
You've been very active. Well, I was going to say you've been very active on social media. You've been very active for decades as a community worker, as a youth worker, as helping in these communities. So I suppose, can you first of all frame the events for us, if you don't mind, or give us your thoughts on what's actually happening and why is it... For my money, now this is me opinionating. Why does it seem to be people editorializing on it that the facts don't actually match up to what's actually happening?
Well, I think that the first thing I would say to yourselves and any of your listeners is suspend reality, suspend your reality, suspend your southern hot takes. The same as I would say to anybody across the water in England, suspend your hot takes. That the problem here, first and foremost, is a failure of leadership, a failure of political leadership. But then there are multiple crises going on here at the minute. So we are a sectarian and divided society. Now we're dealing with Brexit. We're also dealing with Corona. We're dealing with storm that was down for 3 years. It's only back up with a year. There's not much love on either side, I think. So we're dealing with crisis after crisis after crisis. And now the outworkings are, you've now got this, we're working class loyalist communities are feeling disempowered, feeling angry, and it's kicked off. It's basically I want maybe people to kind of understand that the violence is never too far away from the surface in Northern Ireland. Go back 2 years, go back to the murder of Lyra McKee in Derry from dissidents. That happened. People mourned. There were strong words of condemnation, and that's all we do. We do condemnation. We're great at condemnation, but we're not great at solutions. We never delve down in it. We never look at the root causes. We'll throw maybe a bit of money at it for a couple of years and then we'll move on. And that for me, there has been a failure of leadership and there's been a disconnect. And I think, and it's not just within loyalism here. I think that I can't speak for loyalism. First and foremost, I grew up in a Republican background. I grew up in Republican North Belfast on the New Lodge Road. So I don't speak for loyalism, but I think there's been a failure in the last couple of decades to invest in our working class communities. And we forgot about them, we've abandoned them. And now you're seeing these multiple crises all on top of each other, finished off with Brexit, the outworkings of the protocol and Corona. And the lid's gone. But violence is never, I think there's been rattling in Belfast now for a couple of hundred years every year. Do you know something? We do recreational rattling very well. It's like tennis, it's like Wimbledon. We're really good at it, but it doesn't take too much to kind of bring it to the surface. And I think that at the minute, we've seen a failure of leadership. We've seen politicians talking for months about dialing down the rhetoric when they've been doing the opposite. They've been fanning the flames. The media has been caught up in this as well. And it gets to the point, it's like 2 years ago with the murder of Lyra McKee. What I'm saying to people is, where does this end? Because I tell you where it ends in a historical Northern Ireland context. It ends with corpses. That's the brutality of it. It ends with corpses.
Yeah, and I'm delighted you opened with save your hot takes, because you know, as a hot take merchant, as a fellow who tweets a lot, you're 100% right, because the simple fact is that's where we start and where it ends. But I also think you've pointed out at something that's been categorically we can see it on both sides. I can see it in our government, whereby they've been stirring the pot for months. And you know, we see it in people. I was watching the video of Nolan losing the head because someone said, look, you know, you've been pushing this for 9 months as a story, as in the Bobby Story funeral. We fanned the flames of all of this, and this is the origin of this. Now, I agree with you. I think what you've seen is actually, maybe that might be a catalyst, but the real break is actually in inequality in terms of disadvantaged areas that feel that have been left behind. And that is a universal story. We see it, you know, why are there anti-mask marches? Why are there far right marches? Mm. Why are people going to that? Because they feel disempowered and they feel like there's no alternative for them. And so given that you've said that that's a failure of leadership, how do we change course on this, Brian?
I think the first thing we need to do is we need to be very careful with our words. Because as I said a minute ago, if we're not careful with our words, we're going to end up with body bags. We're going to end up with grieving families. We're going, that cycle of misery continues. It's a legacy left over from the Troubles. And something else to put into the mix, Northern Ireland is still a traumatized society. People, I can hear Sharon Lamberts, she's brilliant. I've heard her on We Yourselves a few times. She talks about trauma. Northern Ireland is the perfect example on this island, on these two islands. Northern Ireland is a trauma, it's a trauma-based society. We never dealt, when the Good Friday Agreement was signed, we never dealt with our issues. There was never a Truth and Reconciliation Commission. We just kind of hoped it would go away. Some people had more to lose than others. You know, we've never dealt with that. Then you look at the outworkings of it again, that more people have committed suicide since the Good Friday Agreement than people that were murdered in cold blood during the Troubles. Do you know, so there's layers upon layers here. We are a society experiencing multiple layers of trauma. And then as I keep going back, I don't want to keep repeating myself, but we are now dealing with multiple crises as well. And there has been a stark failure of leadership. And in the short term for me, we have to watch our language. We have to be very clear about what we're saying, because words matter. Words have impact. Words have taken people out onto the street. Words have stirred the pot for months. We had comfortable old men sitting in their nice houses. Do you know? And that to me is a sickening thing here. It won't be them instead of carrying the con. It'll be kids. And it'll be police officers. Where does it end? Does it end when a kid dies? When a police officer dies? When a bus driver or a passerby? Do you know, that to me, that's the stark reality of where we are here. In the long term, we need to get our heads around the systemic inequalities. We need to get our head around. We're still waiting on Stormont to deliver an anti-poverty strategy. Do you know, that to me is a must. We're dealing with the mess that Brexit is. We don't know where we're going to. Do you know, it's a sea of chaos.
Brian, I've heard it said that, you know, there is no peace in Northern Ireland. There just isn't any armed conflict. No. And that's, you know, we've won the cessation, but there hasn't been any real efforts to bring through truth and reconciliation.
We have a political
When you're looking from north to south, do you think that the political atmosphere in the Dáil is a hindrance to peace up north?
Do you know something? I never really took notice of politics in the south until about 18 months, 2 years ago, because we were dealing with our own brand of lunatic politics up here. I think that Brexit has brought that into sharp focus in terms of Farage. I know you probably aren't fans of Leo Varadkar, but Varadkar is not love within loyalism up here and within unionism. But you know, Varadkar, Simon Convey, you know, that sort of. So there's been all those elements. So there has been more sort of, we have been dealing with and taking more notice of what's going on down south. And I also think within loyalism, probably they see the rise of Sinn Féin in the south, and that. Makes them feel uneasy. But like I said, I can't speak for them, so I won't try to. But I think that, yeah, maybe in the last couple of years, politics in the South has come more to the fore. But for like I said, as an elected political representative, I never had much of a passing interest in politics in the South, simply because we had enough madness to be getting on with up here.
It doesn't really impact on your day-to-day working. That's the reality. Like, we'd love to think that we were the center point of the universe, but we're simply not. But what bothers us, I suppose, when we comment on it, is the fact that it became Well, it has been for a number of years, but it's become more to the fore as a way to, as you have identified, the rise of Sinn Féin has become an idea then to say, but the North, as if it was, you know, a derogatory slur almost. You know, it's implied in that sentence when the Taoiseach takes to his feet and you could say to him, you know, the price of Diet Coke is too high, and he'd say, well, up the North, it's this, you know. And it's become that thing here for us. However, I think that's important that we put all that aside for the basis of this conversation and understand that the failure of leadership within, like, because you have in theory your own self-governance, but you've, I think I'm right in saying the only bill they bloody ever passed is the tax on plastic bags.
And the change bill with Stephen Agnew, the former leader of the Greens, brought through. So Stormont needs reformed. I think there's been a, Martin, you talked a minute earlier there about the peace process. We don't have a peace process. We have a political process, but we've never invested in peace. We've never invested in integration. Integration should be starting at nursery. We are still divided societies. We are still... I grew up in a staunch Republican estate. I'll never knock it. We'll never knock it. But I didn't mix with Protestants until I was 19. I'm 46.
To hear you say that, you know, there wasn't, you wouldn't have had much focus on Southern politics. It kind of puts a lie to this both sides kind of thing. There's more than both sides. There's three sides. And it's very discouraging to hear that somebody who, as you say yourself, grew up on the Republican side, you know, that you don't see the South of Ireland as an alternative, as a reasonable alternative, as something that should be on the agenda for, you know, this is better than we have up here, why don't we join this? And if it's not there for those who grew up on the Republican side, it certainly can't be there for those who grew up on the Loyalist side.
I'm not saying it's a better, whether it's not a better alternative. I just said that there's enough going on here 24/7. Politics here is always in a, politics here, it's not too far from chaos. Do you know, that's that sort of, that we're constantly focused in on ourselves. And I know that we don't think Dublin's the centre of the world. We think Belfast is the centre of the world. But everybody thinks their own little place is the centre of the world. But it's that sort of, it's almost that sort of parochial nature. But I also know that that parochial nature is the same in the South. Do you know that? But but that's simply because of our conflict of where we are. We are we're a divided society. We're divided among ourselves for a start. And it's not just two sides, it's multiple sides now. You've got immigrants that have moved in. Northern Ireland is changing. And I think that there's a lot of uncertainty here. I don't think we should fear change, but I think that change maybe sometimes does scare and intimidate people.
Yeah, and I suppose that's where I wanted to really go in this conversation, is the fact that irrespective of, and again, I don't want to, I mean, these kids who are out there, these teenagers throwing things, No one's condoning. We're condemning violence. This nonsense of Rush. Did you condemn strongly enough? And all this crap that goes on. This game that goes on, without asking, you know, why, you know, why they feel so left behind. Why they feel disadvantaged. Why we need to work. Why we need to actually bring people within. But you've pointed out at a few things. Northern Ireland is changing. Ireland is changing. I mean, like when I was a young lad, there was no. I'm only a couple of years younger than you, Brian, and there was no one who wasn't from Ireland in Ireland. You know, and now it's nearly 20% of the population is first generation from outside of the country, and it's similar in the north. And loyalism, for want of a term, no, loyalism is the wrong term. The DUP specifically have dirtied their bib as standing there almost close to Trumpism. It was pointed out to me this morning by talking to someone that that the idea of, you know, this kind of racial purity that they had in Alabama and Tennessee, some of that came from people who came from the same belief system that begot the DUP, and that is actually historically a fact. You know, so when we look at that and we see what's been pushed against it. Is it a simple case where people are feeling disempowered? And you quite rightly point out they're not the people who are actually going to stand to lose out. They've got help. They, you know, they tend to come from popular and well-off loyalist areas. You know, areas where they're in their enclave, but they're sending these kids out, and these kids then will end up with criminal records and end up with, you know, disadvantaged for the rest of their lives. And is this not the real tragedy of the event in a way right now?
Well, it is, but it's. somebody said to me, like I said, you had politicians in Storm of the Day with the recall. And I think a lot of them were coming from a good place, but they were getting up and talking about, oh, if young people get arrested, they'll get a criminal record, it'll affect their employment, and it'll affect their career prospects and their ability to travel to Australia and America. And I'm looking at them going, I'm listening to them going, some of these kids can't even afford a bus into Belfast City Centre. Some of them are unemployed. You're talking to kids, you're talking to young people who have nothing, and you're telling them, listen, we're going to give you even less than nothing. What's that? Do you know, so, and that's the problem here. We have failed to invest in our working class communities, and it's not just a loyalist issue. There are large parts of West Belfast, Republican West Belfast, and North Belfast that are right up there in that social deprivation index, that are right up there, and they haven't changed in decades. So this, like I said, this just isn't an issue within loyalism. This is a collective political issue. This is a failure of leadership.
Hasn't that always been the way in the North, in that what unites the two communities, particularly in the disadvantaged communities, is much more than what divides them? But the grifters, who, as Tony said, are living in their gated communities, stoke fears and use these people who should really be in unison fighting against the bigger enemy, which is the ones that are squeezing the lifeblood out of them. But no, they're kept divided, and it suits people to keep them divided. It suits.
That's the same even, and if you're talking about that, Martin, that's even the same in the South in terms of immigrants. The working classes are being turned on each other, being told, that immigrant's here to take your job. No, that's being shouted at from above them, and it's turning people on each other. But it's frustrating. It is deeply, deeply frustrating. And I do, like I said, it's easy. It's easy at the minute to knock working class loyalist communities. I think the DUP have done them a huge disservice. They sold them the dream of Brexit, and a lot of us said Brexit will be a nightmare, and Brexit is turning out to be a nightmare. And I think that the DUP are culpable in that, on that part. But then I look at that specifically with the DUP leadership. And if you look at me as a Northern Irish, as a left-wing Northern Irish Green to the DUP, we are on very different, we're very different opposites. Yet I can say this, whilst I have anger and frustration at the DUP leadership, I look at some of the DUP councillors in Belfast and I think they're brilliant. And that may blow some people's minds down south and in Dublin listening to this. But I see them working on the ground. I see them. And if, do you know something? Somebody made the point a while back to me going, if we were all over in England, we'd have all probably been in Labour.
Well, I like the fact that you're it's obvious you're exhausted by it in your own way. You're tired and you're fed up of it. But what it's also is clear is that, you know, we all patted ourselves on the back a few weeks ago because Claire Byrne hosted a conversation around what a united Ireland would look like. And we literally, even the papers had stories the next day going, how mature of us, we managed to do this, you know. And we were literally, there was a lot of backslapping went on. And now today we're beating our chests and we're saying, oh, should look at them, look at them. And I always, it drives me fucking mad. When once you start the othering, then you start the out-group, and what you start is the process of dehumanizing in a way. And that is a dangerous thing. So, you know, if we could put this in context, I know it's, you know, no one wants to see it, but it is a small faction of people. Like, it's not like it was when I was a young fella where, you know, I went up to play against Star of the Sea and you know, you're playing a bit of basketball and you're looking around going, coming out and have to change the tires on the bus, you know, that sort of stuff. It's different now. I'm hopeful, Brian.
I'm hopeful as well. But like I said, we're dealing with multiple crises, and we work in isolation. Politically, we work in isolation. Republicans work in isolation. Unionist loyalists work in isolation. And you've got this middle ground of the Alliance and the Greens that are working in isolation. This is where I start sounding like a Green. We're actually an ecosystem. We're a community. We're an ecosystem, and we have to start thinking. If we want to deal with these issues, we have to go beyond that isolation. We have to start working together. You know, I'm not going to break into song, some sort of hippie song, but we have to start working together here, because we're only going to solve these problems by having a better firstly, by listening to each other. We don't listen, we shout, we howl. Twitter being the most toxic place, we howl into the void. Do you know, and I'm sure yourselves look on in absolute horror, but that's Northern Ireland. But I am hopeful, and it is hard and it is weary. And the last few days have basically been a bit of a fucking head melt, to put it bluntly. But it's still a place worth fighting for. Do you know, and it's still our home, and it's still, I wouldn't be putting myself forward here. I wouldn't be here as a Green in Belfast, as a working class Green in Belfast, if I didn't think this city is worth fighting for. And it's the greatest city in this island. Let me just put that out. Let me just put that out with yourselves first. Let me just nail that myth about Dublin or anywhere else. Cork comes second.
Oh, you got to mute his mic.
I know. The similarities between Cork and Belfast just keep getting stronger and stronger.
I know, I think until we're prepared to look at these multiple crises and joined up, interconnected thinking, we're never going to deal with this. It's going to be a case of we throw money at this for a couple of years, we throw money at community and youth work on the interfaces, then we forget about it. But this problem will come back. This problem will always come back. Latin goes back in Belfast over 200 years. Like I said,
But this problem comes back, and each time it comes back, it's more diluted than the last time that it was. It reared its head. Do you think we're getting to a position where it'll just be diluted to the point? And it is, I mean, we must say, the vast, vast majority of people in Northern Ireland last night were at home having their cup of tea or their cup of coffee, watching their bit of telly. It's a very, very small group of people in one small community in Belfast, but
So there's been trouble in Larne, Newton Abbey. I'm hearing the stuff at Prote. So this has got the potential to spread. So
That's what I'm going to ask. Can this be an incendiary? Can this light up more of Northern Ireland?
Yeah, and the area that I represent is in South and East Belfast. East Belfast in particular, I would be worried about. East Belfast so far is holding firm, and there's a lot of good work going on the ground, and I hope that work continues, because if East Belfast goes, I would have concerns for other parts of Northern Ireland.
You see a provocation factor?
I just see that it's almost that sort of, it'll spread wildfire, it'll go from one to the other. But that's why I think at the minute, in the short term, we need leadership. We need that, we need cool heads, we need that, we need to stop shouting, we need to stop dialing up the rhetoric, as a lot of them have been saying for We need to dial down the rhetoric. We need to wind our necks in here, and we need to start listening to each other. Our people, as I go back to the start, there will be corpses.
Yeah, no, I actually think I've seen calls from all sides now, and a more contrite Arlene Foster on a Zoom call talking about, you know, about how this shouldn't happen and all the rest of it. And so, you know, maybe yes, there is hope that it will go, because you don't want it's scary. I hate using the words, but it's the words we grew up with. You know, we don't want to see an escalation. We don't want to see we don't want to become tit for tat. We don't want to see, you know, this happen in this community, this happen in that community, because it just opens up wounds and passes into. And you were right to point out Sharon Lambert, because she talks about how trauma can be intergenerational, and you know, because a lot of the people who were throwing petrol bombs, they weren't born when at the height of the troubles. This was not that situation. So, you know, it is intergenerational. We have got a real need. And again, we have a real need in Dublin as well to face facts around what happened in terms of partition, all the way through to the troubles, all the way through to truth and reconciliation, and who played what part. I don't know if we're going to get there. I got to ask one cheeky question, Brian. The Greens in the north are very different from your brethren down south, as far as we can tell.
Here's my answer. The Greens across the planet are a very broad church. I personally would probably have more in common with the Greens in Scotland.
Yeah.
I probably would have more in common with the Greens in Scotland. I think that...
I'm not looking for you to say...
They are a broad church, and you're dead right. They are a broad church, and some Greens are standing down the back of the church and some of them are up licking the altar rails. And
so, some think ethical capitalism might get us there, and some think we need a bit more than that, you know.
Lettuce in the box on the window and paper straws don't win the day, you know.
And I know that, and I know there's a frustration down south, and I think that there's, whilst I talk about there's a frustration with politics and leadership in the north, I can see that that's the case in the south, and politics in the south as well. And this is not me doing the quick political answer and turning this away from myself, but I can see the politics down in the south. It's fairly divided as well, you know, between those that say we need a government, we had to get a government together, and then you've got the Shinners and you've got that left-wing side over there as well, you know, but that's where we are. The green movement across the planet, there's 1985 green movements across this planet, and we are a very broad church, you know what I mean? I think the New Zealand Greens are in favour of private education, you know, so I don't think the Northern Irish Greens would that would be the case, but I'm very proud to be a Northern Irish Green on this island. That'll be my answer. I am very proud to be a Northern Irish Green.
And we just settle it now, so when we do eventually have this, you'll admit that coddle is the national dish, yeah?
No, I'll be honest with
you. Beans and all, yeah.
No beans.
Oh, then it's not an Ulster fry.
Go ahead.
No. I was going to let you have one more cut, and that was the end of you.
No. Thanks very much, gents, for having us. I appreciate it.
Thanks for taking the time, Brian. And I hope you look south more often, and I hope we can get you on more often.
Not a problem, gents. I enjoy listening to your show. I first get into it when Sean Lambertson, we brought a motion around the decriminalisation of drugs and talked about consumption rooms, and you've just seen some of the looks I got in Belfast City Council that night when I brought that. But basically, Sean Lambert, that podcast you done on that was basically my speech. So I hold my hands up. I stole her greatness. So thank you very much. If I ever see her, I'll buy her a drink.
And she's a fabulous. Now she'll tell you she lives in Cork, but she's from Clare. So let's be clear on that.
You won't get away. No problem, gents.
Thanks very much.
You won't get away with one drink either.
Brian, thanks so much. And we will stay in touch and appreciate it. And by the way, if anything does come up, we would love to touch base with you again soon. And it's nice to have someone who is adamantly a Green. I do like that. You know, it's nice to see someone beating their chest saying, no, I'm a proud Green. It's been a bit of an awkward situation for the last number of months.
I'm a proud Northern Irish Green. Eco-socialism.
Brian Smith, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us. Talk to you.
No problem, gents. Thanks very much.
Take care. Bye bye.
Thanks, lads.
Appreciate
it. Tony and Martin, Martin and Tony, speaking to interesting people only. It's the Echo Chamber podcast. Subscribe now on Patreon.